It's time now to dwell on this inner significance of this bhajan. And we now have Brother Bhargav, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who now works as assistant manager, administration in the administrative block of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Brother has been here with Bhagwan for decades, and he shares his insights on this bhajan. Saram, Brother Bhargav, and welcome to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Saram, Brother Bishu.
You are someone who has lived with Bhagwan for so many years, and you are now part of the Prashanti Vedam group, and also, like all of us, so much part of the Prashanti bhajans that happen every day. And can I ask you, you know, as someone who is sitting every day in Mandir and participating in the bhajan sessions, like all of us, like all devotees everywhere, you know, whenever we sing a bhajan, we always think about so many beautiful facets that the bhajan is made up of. And that's how the bhajan actually becomes such an elevating experience for each one of us.
Correct.
And every bhajan session starts with the Ganesha bhajan.
Yeah, true.
After we do Omkaram. And when you think about Ganesha bhajans, you know, and when you think about all that Bhagwan had said over the years about the Ganesha principle, every Ganesha celebration, Ganesh Chaturthi celebration in Prashantalam was a grand affair.
Yeah, always, correct.
Always. So, can I ask you, when you think about this facet of the Lord, this beautiful form of the Lord, what thoughts come in your mind? And especially when you're there sitting and singing a bhajan like Prathama Vandana Ganinatha.
When you told about this Prathama Vandana, the first word Prathama Vandana struck me, because whenever you talk about Bhagwan, whatever he does, there's always a very subtle and deep meaning. We all come to Puttaparthi. We all come to Prashantaram. But if we have failed to notice that when we enter Puttaparthi, the first deity whom we encounter, which we always call very famously the Ganesha circle,
yes,
is the Ganesha.
Yes.
So, when you're talking about this, I felt, and second is, as soon as we come to Prashantaram ashram as such, the township, what we call it, the first deity and the first gate is Ganesh gate.
Yes.
That is Ganesha there. So why did Swami put Ganesha in these places?
Even the Gopuram gate you have.
Yes, now Ganesha. We have the Gopuram gate also.
Yes. So,
and not only that, if you notice, if you go to our school or our hostel, any hostel, school hostel, institute hostel, or even our, for that matter, our college.
College campus.
The college campus, if you directly enter, the first temple is Ganesha's temple.
As soon as you enter the campus, what comes into your mind is the Ganesha.
So, Swami always wanted to send a very subtle signal that, see, whenever you do anything, whenever you enter any new activity or anything new, always remember Ganesha, because he is the Prathama Vandana. He is the one who has to be worshipped first to remove all the obstacles. So, that's the first thing. And as you mentioned, the second point, the second word which comes in this bhajan is Gananatha. This is a fascinating story. You also know about it. That Ganesha's devotion to Shiva and Parvati.
Yes.
And how, because of his devotion, he gets this. Shiva and Parvati become so happy with him.
Yes.
They say, okay, because of your supreme devotion to the parents, you considered parents as supreme, as the one who are the ultimate.
Yes. So he, Ganesha circumambulates
them, and
because and for of that, him, he has circumambulated the whole
universe.
The whole universe, yes.
So because of that, he is conferred this title of Gananatha. Gana means, what Swami has mentioned is, Gana is not only the Ganas which are there with
Shiva.
According to him, Ganas are all the living beings, sentient, insentient, all the animate, inanimate. So, he is the one who is the Lord of all the beings in the universe. So, there is a very nice geographical coincidence, if I call it. There is a place, there are 8 temples called as Ashtavinayakas in Maharashtra. If you heard about them or not. There is a special journey which is undertaken to cover all the 8 temples.
A pilgrimage.
Yeah, a pilgrimage. So, the interesting, I'll just mention the names of them. They are Moregaon, Siddhatek, Pali, Mahad, Theur, Lenyadri, Ozar, and Ranjangaon. These are the 8 places. These are all self-manifested. They call them as Swayambhus.
Mm-hmm.
They are all Swayambhu Vinayakas. That is, they are manifested on their own.
On.
But the interesting part is, like, when we went there, I went to a few of them. The locals told us that there's a special bondage between these 8 Vinayakas and the Shiva and Parvati who are there in Trayambakeshwar.
Okay. Trayambakeshwar is there.
Yeah, Trayambakeshwar.
At the center of all the Ashtavinayakas.
Yeah, and Trayambakeshwar is the one of the 12 Jyotirlingas. It's supposed to be very powerful.
Yes.
So, what they say is these 8 Vinayakas are like the guardian deities of this Trayambakeshwar, which is in the center. So, they are like the same thing, same concept which we are discussing, that he has supreme devotion to his parents.
Mm.
He's actually showing it in physically in these 8 temples
so
in Maharashtra.
You have all the all the 8 Vinayakas all around
this temple.
The parent, all around Shiva.
If you just go to Google and just Google it also, you'll find out that Trayambakeshwar is somewhere in the center and all the 8 temples are around it.
Yes.
It's very fascinating to know.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
This is the second thing which I felt. And then the next line which comes is Gajavadana. Oh my God, Gajavadana is something which is which has many, many meanings, and Swami has mentioned it time and again.
Yes.
I take a Balvikas class. They ask me, sir, why not a human being? Why an elephant head out of all?
Mm.
So that really kept me thinking, why should we have an elephant head? So I went back and read Swami's literature and went through other few material. I found some fascinating facets about it.
Mm-hmm.
First is, an elephant is something which has got supreme intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And emotions which are not found in other animals, like gratitude, the power to get transformed, listen to someone and get the empathy, emotions, all these things are a lot there in an elephant. And second is, Swami always tells that Ganesha is something which first captures the children's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put a human head, it won't be attractive. When you put a elephant head, it's very attractive.
Something fascinating
for small kids.
Yes.
So when you introduce them to a deity, when you introduce them to a Ganesha, they very easily relate to a Ganesha because they love an elephant. They love an animal like that.
Yes, I think for a child, an elephant is a very fascinating animal. You know, with a huge trunk and big ears.
Yes, when you see it also, it feels very special.
And very cute.
Yes,
and,
correct.
When you have the elephant head on top of the figure of Ganapati, I mean, with that large belly and everything, it looks very cute.
Very cute, yeah. And you relate very easily to it.
Very easy.
And Swami always wants that somehow you relate to God.
Yes.
So that is very special.
Yeah.
And going deeper into it, it seems an elephant has got multiple skills. It can uproot a tree very easily. And at the same time, even if you put a needle down in front of it, can pick up a needle and give it back to you.
Wow.
So it can do a minutest task and a gigantic task with same flair.
Wow.
So that is very special about an elephant. I'm reminded of a real life incident.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you heard of a person called as Lawrence Anthony.
Yes, Lawrence Anthony, elephant whisperer.
Yeah, correct. You got it. He's called very famously the elephant whisperer.
Mm.
So he had a very lucrative insurance business and he left it because he always had that liking to save animals. He used to feel for the animals.
Mm.
So it started with this Iraq war. At that time, the Baghdad Zoo was one of the very famous zoos there, and there were a lot of animals which were not, they were attacked by the war, they were not well, many of them were injured.
Iraq invasion in
2003. So that time he went there and in his very small way he tried to rescue them and rehabilitate them.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, he started his mission, as we can call it a so-called mission of his, which like an environmentalist, he tried to rescue many of these animals, especially elephants.
Wildlife conservation,
yes. So what he did is, he came back, he's from Johannesburg. He is born in South Africa. So he encountered a very similar problem back home in South Africa. There is a few elephants, they became unruly. They were damaging crops. They were posing as a danger to human life. So the local people wanted to kill them, shoot them. He told, no, I'll try to reform it myself. And with his courage and his little bit experience which he had, he was able to communicate, maybe because of he had some God's gift with him, but because of his own courage and conviction, he was able to communicate with one or two herds who were very unruly, and they calmed them. He calmed them down, rescued them, rehabilitated them.
Otherwise, they would have, actually their lives were in danger.
Yes, their lives were in danger.
Because the local people
not only that, their lives were in danger, and because of them, the lives of the human beings were also in danger. So because of this, he rescued both of them, both. And what he did is, he created two reserves. One is called the Thula Reserve in Zululand, and second one was the Royal Zulu Biosphere in Zululand. So he made a place for them, which was around a 5,000 acres sanctuary called Thula Thula Wildlife Reserve. And here he rehabilitated these elephants. And it went on for some time. And in 2012, on March 7th, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a small affair in the family. They had the funeral session. Everything went on well. But the most touching part, which everyone was in awe, was that two herds of elephants with their matriarchs, the one whom he has rehabilitated and rescued earlier, they tread a distance of around 12 miles, an overnight journey of 12 hours, and they came all the way from their place to his house without anyone calling them. It's really fascinating, isn't it?
The elephant just knew that he passed away.
Yeah, they just
obviously
knew.
No one went and
told them. They just came.
Oh.
The two different herds, they came, there are photographs it seems, where they came in a very well-fashioned, well-mannered line, very silently, in a disciplined manner. They came to his house. His wife relates that they were shocked. What on earth called them here? How they came? How they came to know about it? So this is a very, very important facet of gratitude of elephants.
Wow.
Because this is very, very close. This is something which is very close to human beings.
Yes.
When I do something for you, you show gratitude to me. If I do something for you, so that
is what makes human beings
special.
Human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes human beings special.
Yeah.
So they came and they, in their own way, they did a mourning. That is, they came and stayed there for 2 days, two nights around his house. Without taking food or anything, they silently went back. This was something which was very touching for the family of Lawrence Anthony. And that's why I feel that the Gajavadana, the elephant head, is very, very special, because not only being attractive for the children, it has got so many facets like this.
This is such an amazing story, a real life practical example of what Bhagwan used to always mention about this aspect of gratitude.
Gratitude, yes.
Yeah, I think Bhagwan has mentioned so many times.
He always talks of Kritagna Devaya, that comes in Aditya Hridayam.
Aditya
Hridayam, it comes here. Swami always quotes this.
Hmm.
And an elephant is one who has actually lived and showed it by an example. We have this.
Yes.
To show that it is actually true for an animal like an elephant. So having a Gajavadana is always special.
I think this is such an amazing facet. I think whenever we are singing a bhajan related to Ganesha,
you know,
our heart should just open up with gratitude.
Yes, to
I think that is the lesson that Bhagwan is just giving us. You know, you start, they say there are two things very important in life. To think of God and to thank God. Think and thank. And I think when the bhajan starts, when you do Om, you think of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the Lord just comes.
Correct.
And the next thing you should do is thank God.
Thank you.
Because the next thing, as you start Ganesha Bhajan,
you could, correct.
The immediate thought that should come is to thank the Lord. I think if somehow...
we can do that.
Yeah, right. I think that's a very, very, very beautiful feeling. Amazing.
And then, the next part of the bhajan is always the one which is favorite of all students. Vidya Buddhi Pradayaka. Very interesting thing in this, like, I used to study in our Prasanthiram campus. Whenever... And as we just mentioned in the beginning, as soon as we enter our campus, there is a beautiful Ganesha temple which Swami has himself sanctified it, and he's at 10 steps. There's a flight of 10 steps, and the temple is just on top of that. It's perched on top of the steps. It's a beautiful temple, and all of us go and pray to that. But on an examination day, it is full. It's full. Means there'll be people standing in the line. There'll be some tents. All the tent steps will be full, and people will be just lined up only to have get the blessings of Ganesha. And I remember once during the exam time when we came to Mandir, Swami also commented, Swami told, oh, Ganesha will be very busy because exam time. So this always shows that, see, Ganesha is someone who is very special when it comes to exams. Exams means Vidya. Like, whenever you, there's a test of your Vidya.
Yes.
Of your Buddhi. That what the bhajan is, Vidya, Buddhi, Pradayaka. So whenever you have a test of your Vidya, of your knowledge, the one who comes to your rescue is only Ganesha.
In fact, I remember on one occasion when, you know, Swami was speaking to Professor Venkatraman, and you know, so he said something which Swami objected to. So immediately said, Swami, I don't have Buddhi, Swami. You know, Buddhi ledu naaku, Swami. You know, forgive me because I don't have Buddhi, Swami. And then he said, Swami, you only have to give me Vidya Buddhi, Swami. He said, Swami said, no, that is not my department. So I think, you know, Swami was in so many ways, even in this casual, sort of casual conversation, nothing is casual.
Correct.
You know, where he just wanted to reinforce that you have to go to Ganesha.
Ganesha for such a thing, correct.
Yeah. And I think, once he gives us that Vidya and Buddhi, the right Vidya and Buddhi to undertake any task, that is how we can ensure, he ensures, you know, we can ensure that the endeavor goes on smoothly. There are no obstacles in the endeavor.
Correct.
And
yes.
That's how he becomes Vigna Vinashaka.
Vigna Vinashaka, correct. So, Vigna Vinashaka, there's an interesting thing again. Like, so I was reading Swami's literature that time. He says that when the one very important facet of an elephant is its fearless.
Yeah, fearlessness.
Fearlessness. They say that in a forest, when you want to take a route, take a route which elephant takes, because in an elephant route, nothing will be there.
Yeah.
All the obstacles, it never goes around an obstacle. It always beats the obstacle and goes ahead.
Yes.
So whenever, it's very
they
symbolic.
They are trailblazers, they create a road.
They create a road.
They don't take
they
a road.
Don't take. They create a road.
They create a road.
So when you talk about Vigna Vinashaka, whatever obstacles come in your life, Ganesha teaches you, take it head on.
Head on, yeah.
And pray to God, pray to me, I will help you.
Wow.
So it's very, very important that Vigna Vinashaka, he is really Vigna Vinashaka because of that elephant symbolism comes here again.
Yeah.
Which Swami mentions.
I mean, the moment you look at the elephant, right, if the thoughts of courage come, if the thought of
fearlessness
comes, you know, you have gratitude and fearlessness. I think these are...
It's a very beautiful combination.
Gratitude and fearlessness is what makes a human a human.
Correctly.
You know, that courage and the strength and utsaha, that is what makes a human a human.
And then coming to the next point, that is Suramuni Vandita. So, as you mentioned that we all chant Vedam and all of us, many of us know about Ganapati Atharva Shirsham. So, in that one place it comes where it says that Ganesha is everything. Tvam Brahmastvam Vishnustvam Rudrastvam Indrastvam Agnistvam Vayustvam Suryastvam Chandramastvam Brahma Bhurbhuvasuvarom. It is, you are Brahma, you are Vishnu. You are Shiva, you are Indra, you are Agni, you are Vayu, and you are all the lokas, Bhur, Bhuha, Suha.
Wow.
So when Ganesha himself is everything, basically it means that in essence, you are the one who is the whole universe and everything which is created. So it's really logical that the suras, that is the gods and the goddesses, they pray to him. And Munis also it mentions, Swam yogino dhyayanti nityam means you are worshipped continuously, meditated upon continuously by our sages and saints.
Yogis and saints.
So this facet comes out very beautifully in our Vedam, Ganapati Atharva Shirsha Upanishad, that Ganesha is the one who has the forms of all the deities.
Yeah.
And because of that, all the gods and all the yogis and all the saints pray to you. So this line, which is Suramuni Vandita, beautifully
gets amplified in the Ganapati Atharva Shirsham. In fact, as you mentioned Ganapati Atharva Shirsham, I am reminded of the Phalastuti of the Ganapati Atharva Shirsham, where, you know, there are assurances.
Correct. If you do this, what will you?
Yeah, there are assurances laid on by the composer of Ganapati Atharva Shirsham, by the divine himself, saying that if you chant Ganapati Atharva Shirsham in the morning, the sins that you have committed in the previous night get washed away. If you chant in the evening, then the sins that you have committed during the day get washed away.
Correct. Yeah, it comes in this. Pratarathi yano ratrikritam papam nashayati sayam pratah prayunjano papo papo bhavati means if you chant it continuously,
yes,
the sin that is papa becomes apapa, means
wow,
everything gets nullified. If you chant Ganapati Sahasrisham, if you pray to Ganesha,
yes,
whatever sins you do, whatever transgressions you happen through you, they all get nullified.
So, you know, in Ganapati Sahasrisham, you are asked to adore the Ganesha and you are also given the benefits.
Benefit of it, correct.
We always want, you know, everyone, what's in it for me? It is already laid down there. This is the reason why you do it. And I think, and once you know, you don't have the ill effects of your actions, obviously you'll be successful in your life, you know. I think there are so many beautiful aspects. But I think, I know we can go on in this conversation, but I think two things which came out so strongly to me, and I think, conversation is that attitude of gratitude, because Swami was so
important. It's very fascinating, correct. Gratitude.
Yeah, Swami was so particular about that, and this attitude of fearlessness. I think if we can imbibe at least these two,
and I think, courage also. Courage and fearlessness come together, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
Yeah, one is gratitude, and second is, as you said.
And of course, you have the focus. I mean, Ganesha is always, you know, because of that gratitude towards the Lord, he has become the primordial deity. Primordial deity, and everything begins with that.
No, I think one more thing is, like always Swami says, respect your parents.
Parents, exactly.
He embodies that. And according to Swami, if you do that, you become the Lord of the universe. You become Gananatha.
You become greater than Shiva. I mean, that's how Shiva says, people have to worship you first. Before coming to me. I think, and that is such a powerful message for the young ones, isn't it? Respecting parents. For all of us, but I think it should start at the young age.
Young age, correct.
Amazing. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Brother Bhargav, for coming to Radio Sivabhajan Classroom.
It was very nice to have dwelled upon our sweet Ganesha. It's really special to have all these facets coming out with our discussion.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Bishop Brother.
Yeah. Sairam.